Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
And I have some empathy along that line too, but not much. If we're going to remember the red, white, and blue, you might want to think about the Christian flag. I think our American flag is almost worship, which I think is, if you love your country, there's some merit to that. If you love what the kingdom of Christ, you might remember some of the saints of God that labored and maybe responsible for your salvation in that they concerned and loved you enough to talk to you about the Lord. Usually some people are involved in our salvation. So Memorial Day, that can be applied spiritually too, my friends. I want to encourage you to that. Now, if you take your hymnal, please, will you turn all the way back to the bottom of the page where it says 737, all the way back under index of subjects and occasions. Why are you doing this? Well, I have confidence in you and your singing here. I'm reiterating the matter of the need for witnessing and how we're ready for it and how we're to go. If you look on the right-hand side, down there you see the word witnessing. I'd like us just to take that and sing maybe the first five. Now you say, well, we probably don't know them. I think most of us know the tunes of the first five. And if we get stalled, we'll sing some of the rest. It has to do with witnessing for the Lord Jesus, if you're a Christian. And so, Brother Bob, if you'll play that first one of 565, which is also on the board. Watch the words and what the message is.
Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. Thou knowest, Lord, that I have made thy great salvation known. Withhold not thou thy grace from
praise of the Lord we sang, who dwells above, and magnify his name. That's what I would like us to do in the study this morning. Now the next hymn, Go Labor On, Spend and Be Spent on a Matter of Witnessing, 496. The message from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 this morning, even as we have just sung, go labor on while it is day. The world's dark night is hastening on. Speed thy work, cast sloth away. It is not thus that souls are won. Now none of us would like to have been told that we are lazy. I wonder how we're doing when it comes to witnessing, all of us. Will you stand as I read some scripture and have prayer, please? Wherefore, Paul writing to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And so for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Amen. That is the word of God. Let's pray. And now, our Father, we are grateful for the privilege that is ours, and you've made a way for us to enter into your presence. In fact, Lord, you've given us Abba, Father, and we're grateful for that closeness and the familiarity and intimacy that's available to us. Not that we're worthy, because we're sinners by nature, and also by the fact of our own doings. And so, but through our Lord Jesus, we have come to know him as our Savior. And our Father, if there are those here this morning who know not Christ savingly, we pray that there'll be a morning to speak to them. But we're grateful for those who have come to know you. And as children of God through faith in Christ, we pray that we might be taught by your Spirit. And as we give your word, we have confidence in it and believe that it will be done that way. So, Lord, may the Holy Guest, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, his presence and blessing be upon each of us and as a church. Our Father, we're grateful for your care, your blessings to us in so many ways. We're grateful for the success and the operation for Brother Tom. We pray that you would continue to help him, and may he have your best. Thank you, Lord, also for what was done in my behalf, too. And now we have loved ones and friends that have their problems, not only physically, but perhaps more importantly, the need of salvation through Christ. It is the most important thing. And as we see some of our family and friends tomorrow, we pray that we may be cognizant that they need to know Christ savingly also. So speak to our hearts, encourage us, and reprimand us too if we are slackers. And that, Father, we may go forth and please you. For we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let's see. Our next hymn would be 387. I love to tell the story. That's a hymn of witnessing, 387.
Bye.
Did we sing the last? Hello. I'm real pleased, though I really am, that you could just turn back there and take the first five hymns and sing like you are this morning. Let's do another one. Let's turn, please, to 429. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. 429. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face. And in the New Jerusalem appointed my soul a place. Amen. All right, let's turn to 1 Timothy. Brother Bob, you ought to be rather pleased this morning that people could just pick up like that and sing. Your years of playing has helped us to be able to sing. Thank you. Well, I have some good news. I want to give the announcements at the end of the service this morning, but I want us this morning to enter into worship. In this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, last Sunday morning, Brother Rick, he's laid the foundation for this passage. And I don't mind telling you I got excited when he was on that seventh verse. In fact, the good news is we're planning to make a Sovereign Grace Baptist Church tract on the seventh verse of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I just been with it all week thinking about it, and I thought, I'm certainly not going to be afraid because Brother Rick has preached on it, and he's done a good foundational job, but you can't. I don't care who you are. It's God's holy word, and I'm telling you, you can't fathom what it really means totally, and so I just thought I'd just make a few comments. And it has to do with witnessing. Here's a young preacher. His name is Timothy, and he had a spirit of being timid, and he had some other problems, and he needed to be encouraged. And in the sense of the passage, just to be encouraged to do some witnessing. Get at it. And that might be a good word for us also. And so as we take a look at this passage of witnessing, I would have you to understand that he's trying to encourage. I'd like to encourage you. He's trying to remind him of the responsibility that are his. I think we can apply this verse 7 to all of us who say we are Christians, we know the Lord. You'd say, well, that's fine. We're glad to hear, but what is verse 7 all about? The verse says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Well, what has he given to us? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, take this passage again, we pray. Bless it to our hearts and our minds. and encourage us as Paul, by your Spirit, was encouraging young Timothy. Do it here also, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So he says, if you're a Christian, you do not have the fear syndrome, because God has given to us the Holy Spirit of God, and he's not the spirit of fear. Now, fear is a real thing. I don't want to make light of that. But he says it didn't come by way of God. Well, where'd it come by when we have fears? Well, yourself or of the devil. It doesn't come from God the Holy Spirit. He's not the God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so we don't have, if we're not supposed to have that. We have the indwelling Spirit of God. We have the gift of the Spirit who indwells us and resides in us, and he is not a spirit of fear. Well, all right. What does he do then? He's enabled us by giving us power and love and a sound mind. Well, we could all use all that we can get. It's all divinely endowed. It's not of my going to school and get an education. Now, I got an education, so I don't need anything else. Oh, yes, you do. God isn't dependent upon your natural instincts. He says, I'm going to give you certain things and enabling so that you can witness for me. I'll give you not a spirit of power, but of fearlessness, and I also give you power and of love and a sound mind. Now, those three things. You know, this matter of fear. Don't you sometimes wonder when Halloween comes around, they have to try to scare people? I know the cute little guys who dress like little teddy bears. That's the one thing. But to disguise. Fear loves darkness. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. When we go to the passing of ballrooms, many times the lights were down, and so when people look in the window, they can't see you in there. But people like when they like darkness, they like to be scared. What? Yeah, some people like to be scared. Well, you can have it, but this fearlessness that the Lord has given to us needs to be dwelt upon. And he said, I've enabled you in that fearlessness that you can have power and you can have love and a sound mind. And they're all divinely empowered, enabled. You take old Adam, and I'm saying old Adam because I'm old myself. When he sinned, what did he do? He went and hid. He's afraid. And that same thing happens to us. When we sin thought and word and deed, there are times we say, well, you know, I mean, how can I talk to the Lord and thinking like that? Saying something like that? See? So we just become real nice people and we don't talk about the Lord. I'm just being a nice person. Niceness can be a sign of fear that you're full of fear. Don't want to talk about the Lord and just be a nice person. Then if we be a nice person, people will come to know Christ as Savior. You can be nice as you want to and be full of Emily Post, and people won't come because of your niceness and your etiquette. They have to have the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to talk about his death, burial, and resurrection, and that you're a sinner. And that two things you got to do. You got to turn from your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So don't think that you're being a nice citizen, a good neighbor. Oh, and I keep my grass mowed and I keep my car nice. That's going to be winsome to win them to Christ. No, not what it says here. Need more than that. And so I say to you, there's an aggressiveness. We looked last week at Acts, at first chapter. It wouldn't hurt to go there again, line upon line, precept upon precept, and hear word and their word. And in Acts 1, it tells us that there's aggressiveness. And he says, I'll give you power. Look at verse 8, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What's it say? The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, but ye shall receive power. Well, all right. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Yeah. Acts 1:8. All right. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and then what? Unto the uttermost part of the earth. And what happened? The Spirit of God came down in power. He says, you'll receive power. After that, then you'll be witnesses. Be a witness. There's an aggressiveness. Get off of dead center and talk about the Lord Jesus. Not just talk about the weather and the politics of the day or the calamities of the day. We need to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Well, you say, I know that, preacher. Fine, I do too, but are we practicing? And I just want to encourage us all because we need to be encouraged. And so, we need to, I'm convinced more and more that there needs to be more what is called one-on-one. Now, I found even in the faculty lounges that when you have a break, maybe one period that you're not teaching, you go to the faculty lounge and have maybe a Coke or something, and they have four or five guys in there. We had male faculty lounge, and the women had theirs. And so to talk about the Lord, I found that guys do this. Christians will do this too. That if there's more than one, they get bold. I'm talking about unbelievers. And so if you say something about the Lord, he'll perk up, they'll perk up, he'll perk up. You say, well, I dropped a line for the Lord, but it just seems that they just got all power fired up against this here radical Christian. And Christians do that. Some people get very bold if there's another person present. You say, now I got another person, now I can say something. One-on-one is very important. And I think that you ought to say to yourself, I need to talk to Pete or Sam, and I'll arrange for a time with him, a grandson or granddaughter, even a son, one-on-one. Where you don't have another interference. Somebody say, well, you know how it is, don't you? You're a member of the church. Blip, 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 blip. And there goes the witness. So what are you trying to tell us, preacher? I'm trying to tell us from this passage, Paul, by the Spirit of God, said to this young preacher, I know you have some problems, but I laid hand on you, and God gave you the Spirit of God, and you're to be out there, and you need to be witnessing. It just doesn't come automatically. Oh, well, then don't I have to go to Bible school or college or seminary to be of any value? No, because I want to tell you something. This verse 7, he's not given us the spirit of fear, but what's he given to us? He's given to us power. You didn't have to go to school to get that. He's given to us love. And he's given to us a sound mind. Well, that sounds encouraging. Some people think we're crazy if we talk about the Lord. But the Bible says no. The Spirit of God resides in you. You have a sound mind, but you need to use it. Well, I'm interested in that. Tell me a little more. And so here we are. One of the fears that most people have is people. We fear people. I think what you ought to do, I try to practice this, so I don't mind sharing with you. When I go to some place for an appointment, I try to prepare myself for it. I know the doc's going to say something. I know enough about the doc that I perhaps can just drop a seed. Well, what would that little seed do? Well, go out in the garden. You put seeds in, and they germinate. They may not all germinate. The birds eat them, and some insects eat them, and so forth. But seeds have a way of germinating. And when we plant the gospel, it has the effect of the dynamite. It's called a dunamis in the Greek. What? The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power of a dynamite. Oh, you don't believe that, do you, preacher? Yeah, I do. The power of God. And so if that's true, let's drop some seeds, some gospel seeds, and see what happens. Some people can drop bombs and just kind of, boy, that was really something. But nice to drop gospel seeds and let the Spirit of God take the gospel and germinate it. And when glory, you'll be there, perhaps. And when people, when you're already in glory, it won't be long till most of us will be in glory. And when those that come after us, and we've been a help to them, and we're there to welcome them, they'll be glad that you took the time to talk to them and drop the gospel seed in their life. I'll tell you, this verse 7 to me is something to talk about. I got excited. I'm still excited about it. I'm just talking about it. I'm not really preaching about it. I just want you to get the point. This applies to you, not just to me. And what is it? God's not giving you the spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit of God is not the spirit of fear. But he has given to us power and love and a sound mind. Disciplined mind. See, well, I don't know about that. Well, just hang on a little bit. The Bible says that we live by the power of God. And that we're kept by the power of God. Oh, I took Jesus as my Savior. I don't have to worry about anything. I'll be saved forever and ever. You believe in eternal security, don't you? Yeah, I kind of believe that. You believe that you can sin and get away with it, don't you? Yeah, that's the way we were taught. Your preacher didn't teach that to you. He taught perseverance of the saints. And if there's a continuation of the truth, then you're an evidence that you're a Christian. You're not there just because you walked an aisle at an evangelistic service and raised a hand and said a little prayer, and that made you all safe for heaven. That isn't even biblical. That's more man-centered than you want to believe, friends. However, in spite of that, I do rejoice that in those services they talk about the Lord Jesus and the gospel can be given in spite of that false teaching of eternal security. Now, we are saved eternally. Now, I don't doubt that, but you know, you need to recognize that the Lord keeps us. He's the one. We're kept by his power, and the evidence is that our life proves it by fruit of the Spirit. Not something that we're trying to do, but there is an aspect of necessity of obedience. It just isn't automatic. It just isn't automatic. And this verse is saying very clearly to this young preacher, listen, you better listen up here. I've given you the gift of power, and I'm taking care of you, and I'm enabling you. Now you go and you witness for me. I can't do it. I can't speak it. You can't speak it. Well, I got news for you. Then you're not saved because he readied us. I didn't know whether I should use that word or not. But the witnessing has to do first to being readied. And then we're to go. Bible says if you're a Christian, you have already been readied. Oh, no, I didn't go to school. And not you don't need to go to school if the Spirit of God readies you. And he's readied you. He has given you his power. He's given you his love. He's given you a sound mind. You're readied, but you need to go. Is there nothing I need to do? Yeah, you need to prepare. You need to study the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. Don't be lazy about that. But he's done a work in our lives. I like this. God made you, and he was pleased the way he made you. Listen, girls. He gave you a certain color of hair, and he made you a certain statue, and he's pleased to make you that way. And don't be ashamed. That's the way God made you. Listen, the same with you fellas. God made us. That's the way we are. We're to be clean and so forth. That's. But to think that you've got to change everything that God's given you, that's of the world. Got to change everything that God's given me. Well, if we try to be as far as hygiene and carefulness about those matters, He was pleased to make you. He has a plan for you. Your plan may not be a preacher. Your plan may not be a missionary. Your plan may be out there working at something. But I want to tell you something. You're a child of God. He's not given you the spirit of fear, but he's given you enabling. He's given you power. And in that job you have, and that place where you are, you need to know that you've been equipped to speak for the Lord. It may not be as profound as you want, but let your light shine, is what it's saying. And he said, not only to have some love, I give you the gift of love, and I give you a sound mind. Man, what more do you want, friends? And he said, you'll take care of us. Now, I think we need to be careful here, the next part here about love. He gives us loveliness. He's given us might with love. He's given us the power to speak like we should, but it's to be also given with a powerful love. We have a love of the gospel. We've sung it about it this morning. You did a nice job on that. But he wants us to be a fruitful. He wants us to speak up. Well, you'd say, I just can't speak to that person. Don't like them. No, I don't like them. I don't care to even talk to them. Well, the Spirit of God has given you love. And you can have love for that person. Now, I'm hearing some real nasty things politically. Real nasty. Yeah. They're calling our president all kinds of names to me. Now, philosophically, he may deserve it. But he is a person. I may not like him. I don't like his philosophy. And I'm not being political. I just don't like what he's doing. He's leading us down the path of, I think, socialism, which leads to communism. And it's scary to me because some of us have done some studying. It's scary. He's a scary fellow. And he's getting too much power. But what are you saying? I can still tell you something. I have love for that man. You don't. Yeah, I do. He's got a soul. And I don't believe he really knows the Lord. And he needs to be saved. Well, pray for him then. We do. Do you really? Yeah, pray for the president. Well, that's what the Bible says you're supposed to. Well, I'm an independent or some Republican. I'm not of his kind. Still, you're to love him and to pray for him. That's what the Bible says. We got to put away some of this thing. I don't know how far we can go in saying awful, nasty things about those who have a responsibility over us, government-wise. Anyway, what I'm trying to say here is verse 7. That's what I want you to look at. I'm not moving all over the Bible. And if you don't get this morning, you're going to have to give an account to God for your goofing off in your mind of doing some other things, maybe tomorrow, ladies, or Ben. But the Bible's telling us this morning about God and God's power and God's enabling, and that we are, as the Bible says, we're readied. And we need to realize how we're ready. We have the power of God it resides in us, and we are given love, and we're given a sound mind. Now he says, I want you to do something about it, not just sit there and not think it's necessary. It's necessary. I'm going to have to give an account for myself, and you're going to have to give an account for yourself. And I'd like to see all of you have a crown of righteousness. That would be glorious, that the Lord would lay upon each of you the rewards of crown of righteousness. Let's see what else it says here. So you can love people you don't like. Yep. Well, where'd you get that, verse 7? He's given us that enabling to love. Well, what about that last part? Oh, I like that. Some of you know your IQ. And you say, well, I got a pretty good high IQ. I know that. Or when we were back in school, we knew had students that had high IQs. And we said, now don't tell the student. It'll go to their head. Don't tell them they have a high IQ. And so we kind of kept it quiet as teachers not to tell about the IQs. Now you have an IQ. Most of you know that you've done fairly well in school. I've been around enough to know that. So, okay, but I'm not talking about an IQ. I'm talking about that which God gives to us as Christians. He said, I give to all Christians a sound mind. Oh, no, that can't be. I know some Christians that don't have much. Yeah, but enough for what God has them to do. He's enabled them. He's given them so they aren't afraidy cats. He's given them some power, and the power to give forth the word in the capacity that God has placed them. And not only that, he's given them a powerful love, but also a sound mind. Oh, a sound mind. I worked in a mental institute for several years. And I'll tell you something. It's true. People have mental sickness, and you must have compassion for them. But it actually means having sound faith. A sound faith. He says there, I read that verse to you, verse 12. Did you got that? We talk about a sound mind. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. For Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, he said, I'm not ashamed. And he wasn't a pretty cat, even. For I know, sound mind. He said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hey, Paul, I think you're kind of crazy. No, he says, I'm not crazy. I'm not mentally sick. He says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. I have a sound faith, and I don't mind telling you that God's given me some discernment. It's nice to have discernment. You know, we get it from the Word of God is where we get it, not from our magazines. Discernment from the Word of God. Well, and somebody comes in, hey, what do you think about cremation? Why do you do that? Why do you shrug your shoulders? You know enough about life and death that you shouldn't just say there. You know enough. You got sound mind. You got a mind that knows what's right. You know that that's pagan. You know that that's fire. You know that they die without Christ, they'll go to hell. You know there's an everlasting fire. Don't sit there and say, I don't know anything about it. Well, I'm afraid if I talk about it, you know, Aunt Sue's planning on having a funeral, and she's going to be cremated. So I want to keep in good standing with Aunt Sue. No, you ought to talk to Aunt Sue. She says she's a Christian. Sure, you can save a few $100. By the way, as a preacher, I've had a lot of funerals in the past. I've turned some down now. I have, like weddings. I've turned some weddings down just recently. Here's the thing. I want to tell you something. Funerals aren't like they used to be, dear friends. Now they don't even bother about even having the Word of God. It's kind of a happy thing. I want to tell you about it. We talk about the dead and utilize them. Well, he was a happy guy, and he did this, and he did that. He liked the fish, and he liked the hunt, and he did this once to me, and everybody starts laughing. That's a funeral. No, a sound mind says, no, that's not so. Sin and death, everlasting life. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there'll be people there who never go to church. Never, never darken the church. And there's an opportunity to tell them about the glorious gospel of Christ. I had a man who come here several times from Turbeville, an elderly man years ago, and he said, now, Bill, I want you to have my funeral. You understand it? My funeral, yes? And I said, okay, fine, we'll do that. And so he died. And, of course, I made the inquiry, and the daughter says she's going to take care of the funeral. She had a little education, and she asked me, do you have some hymns I could use? And I said, well, certainly I'll let you have hymns. But that's all she wanted, basically just to say nice things about Dad. Now, if you're going along that line, I want to tell you something. That is not a Christian. You're a Christian, and he's given you a mind that's to be disciplined based upon the Word of God and not upon your idea. And the Word of God talks plainly about funerals and deaths. You follow God's Word, a sound mind in the whole thing. Well, all right. What about contraceptives? Planned Parenthood. That's a personal thing. some of us preachers are going to give an account for the way we counseled. You go see your doctor. Don't ask me. You go see your doctor. When we really ought to say, blessed is the man who serves, whose quiver's full. Oh, boy, you're one of those guys. How are you going to pay for all that? Listen, don't you be arguing with me. You're going to see that because you thought you'd save money, that you may pay dearly for that act. Worse if you believe in abortion. How are you getting on this, preacher? The last two words of verse 7? Got a sound mind, disciplined mind, based upon the Word of God, not upon your thinking or your education, but upon the Word of God. And it's a powerful word. It's based upon love. Sometimes you think, well, where's your love? Well, there's tough love. Sometimes the Word of God says, well, that's pretty tough. That's pretty hard saying there. Yeah, well, tough love has its place. It doesn't mean we don't have love. But when we take a these last two words, I was talking to a Baptist preacher, and he said, my son is graduating, homeschooler, and we're having a service for him. And I said, oh, that's good. What's he going to do? He said, well, he's planning to go to college. And when I hear that, and you know, I said, oh, man, what kind of college is he going to? He said, well, he doesn't know yet, but he's looking at Pensacola Bible College. All right, that's one of those interdenominational schools. He's a Baptist, but they're going to interdenominational school. It's like a doctor going to a chiropractor school. He's a medical doctor, but he's going to a chiropractor. There's a place for it, but it's one thing to be if you're going to be a Baptist preacher, it would seem to me you go to a school that teaches what the Baptists believe, not the Episcopalians. Oh, where do you get such ideas? Sound mind. Sound mind. Would you go to, if you needed surgery, would you go to a chiropractor for surgery? Oh, no. Well, then, a sound mind, biblically speaking. How about finances? I read this past week that people who are tithers, that financially they're doing quite well. Most people say, I can't. 10%. I couldn't pay my bills if I gave 10%. Man, well, sound mind. God said he would do this. He'd open the windows of heaven and bless you if you gave a 10% in your love gifts. Sound mind. A sound mind about education. Come back to education. So I have a son, I have a daughter, and I'm going to pay their way for college. So what do? I send them to a liberal arts school somewhere, and they're liberal, and not only in not the original meaning of liberal arts. Liberal arts in its original meaning was good, that you'd be well-rounded education. That's liberal arts, well-rounded. And that had its point. But I'm not talking that way. They're not doing that today. What they're doing is they have philosophies that is contrary to real patriotism. Most schools. You're not serious. I am serious. And so you send your kids to a school that's liberal, modernistic, evolutionary, and tear down all those things that they heard in Bible, in church. And you say, I don't understand why he isn't interested very much. She's not interested. And you paid for their education, and you just kind of say, oh, Mom, it's all right. I'm okay. Evil communications corrupts good manners. And yet, we'd say, well, I thought it was the right thing to do. Yeah, well, we'll go to verse 7, last two words. You have a sound mind, a disciplined mind. Do a little study in the Word of God. Train a child up in the way he should go. And train him up in the way he should go. Not contrary to the Word of God. You say, well, that's pretty hard. It's pretty narrow. I'm only showing you that the gift of the Spirit of God, he'll give you a disciplined mind. You come to the matter of, like, for instance, if you're married, you know, Paul said, if you're married, you have trouble in the flesh. And most people say, we never argued. We never had a fight. I thought, boy, that must have been a boring marriage. Never had an argument, never had a fight. We just for all these years. Well, that sounds real good. I bet they didn't talk. Because when you get two sinners together, whether they're saved or whether they're lost, there's going to be differences of opinion. Huh? Yeah. No amens, huh? And so some people say, well, I think it's about time I do something about this. I'm going down to see the lawyer. What? I'm going down to see the lawyer. I'm going to fill his pockets. Why? I'm going to get rid of her. Now, wait a minute. Didn't you confess that you knew Jesus Christ savingly? You want to remember something about you? Yeah. Didn't you tie up with a good work, a good church? Where there was and by the way, there are good churches. And I like to think there are beautiful churches. Well, talk about your own church. My personal opinion is, this is a beautiful church. I tell you, when I heard you sing this morning, just four hymns right from the book. I know we had help from Brother Bob, but it's wonderful that you try. And there's love between us. See, I may not like you very well, but I have love for you. You say you can't be that way. You can't say you don't like a person, but you love them. You can't say that, preacher. According to the Bible, I can. I can love my enemies. That's what the Bible says. Don't question me on that. It's possible. The Spirit of God can arrange for such. But if you're a hardhead and you're going to have your way and not the way of God, well, then that's the way it'll be. But the matter of divorce. Well, we're getting divorced. Well, everybody else is. Shrug your shoulders and say, no, no, Mom. No, no, Dad. You better speak up. God's given you an enabling to say a few words. Maybe it's not real profound. Maybe it's not some thesis that some scholar can give or some preacher can give, but just give it. Say, God hates divorce. And explain it to them. Say, look, get back together. You loved one time. And work. Get some counsel. Yeah. Go to an older couple that's been married for 50 years and let them talk to you a little bit. Because if they're Christians, they have a sound mind, they ought to be able to. I like that. And I've tried to do a little of that in the past. I know the Mennonites do. Some of them, at least. The evangelical Mennonites. They take a young couple and say, okay, in our counseling, now we want you to spend some time with George and Pete or Sue. Oh, Lord. Isn't that awful? That's awful. But it's good. I'll tell you why. Because we're getting all state after state, same-sex marriage, and we Christians. Uh-oh. That was a good slip. Come down on that. Male and female. Oh, I'm not going to say anything. I'll tell you why. Because you have fear. You fear men. You fear people. You have fear for yourself. I don't want people to think badly of me, so I keep my mouth shut. That's not what God says here. It's an exciting verse. It's a verse to encourage us, to strengthen us. It says, now look at, this is what I will do. This is what I do for Christians. I readied them. Now listen, there's an aspect that you need to do. You need to go. Get ready. Set. Go. You go, what's that word, set? I'm trying to set you. You set a table, don't you, ladies? Knife and forks go this way, and this goes this way. There needs to be some setting done. Dan just set some eggs under a chicken to be hatched out. You set things. Get ready. I am ready. I've been readied by the Spirit of God. All right. Now then, you have what? You are readied. You have His power, gift of power, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He's given you a powerful love, and He's given you a sound mind. Now, major upon that and say, well, I'm not the wisest person in the world, But I'm going to go out, and I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to be asking the Lord to direct my paths, and I'll drop some gospel seed. Perhaps God will bless it. I'll tell you, well, I know a little bit of history of this area. It used to be an area that had a lot of Baptists. I don't see that anymore. Wherever I go, I don't. You say, well, there's Baptist churches. Yeah, I know about that. Go down south, preacher. I've been down south. I know what it's like. But I'm. It's sad. It's a sad situation. They've been trained in interdenominational schools and other philosophies. They're not really Baptist. It's a shame. They don't have sound minds. Biblically speaking. Arminians, biblical, it's wrong. I'm sorry, but I want to say this. God has given us some antidotes. You go to a doctor and he says, well, I'll tell you what you need. You need to have this drug. I'll write a prescription out. I'm giving you a prescription this morning from the Word of God. What kind of prescription? That we might be, as the Bible wants us to be, witnesses. That's just not a word to play with. And a prescription for witnesses that you know Christ as your Savior, you have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, and He'll give you the enabling so that you're not a fraidy cat or faint-hearted. You have some courage, and you take away your cowardly spirit and put in you a spirit that pleases Him and enable you with some the gospel power and enable you with love for the sinners and give you a sound mind. That's an antidote. That's a prescription. What a verse. Just beautiful. Listen, time is short. It says we teach us to number our days. How many days do you have? I read the obituary. I read this morning's obituary, 27-year-old boy. 27 years old, that's young. Oh, yeah. Oh, then you read some that's in 80. Yeah, read some in 70s. Yeah, you read about them. And those of us are hitting that area, we ought to take heart. And you got to number your days. There's a crisis ahead for our loved ones. You may see some tomorrow. Maybe you nonchalantly can say a word. Give a gospel. Tell them two things, dear. You need to know this. You need to turn from your sins because you've been passed on to you by nature, sinful nature, and you'll die. And if you don't know Christ, the Bible says you'll go to hell. You see, you can't talk like that. I can't talk like that. Why can't I? You can say nasty things about the president. Why can't you tell them the truth about heaven and hell? But tell them about heaven. Tell them about the Lord Jesus, how He died for them, and how He lived here, but His death and His burial and His resurrection, and He's coming back to judge the quick and the dead. And tell them, say, you need to believe on Him, honey. You need to know Christ as your Savior. I encourage you, as I encourage myself, that witnessing, you've been readied by the Spirit of God according to this passage. And He's given you not only you're free of fear when it really comes down to it. You have fear, that's your own blame, or it's a devil, not the Spirit of God. And He's enabled you by His power, and He's given you also not only power but love and a sound mind. Now let's do something about it. Let's do something about it. Let's not be lazy. Let's not be slothful. Let's talk about the Lord. Brother Bob, would you play that last hymn for us? I think it's a nice hymn, 653. And
Jesus is a shine, first of all for Him. Well, He sees and knows it, if our light grows dim, He looks down from heaven to see us shine. You in your small corner and I in mine.
Let's stand.
Jesus is a shining for all around. Many kinds of darkness in the world are found. Sin and want and sorrow. Jesus is a shining for all around. Well, many kinds of darkness in the world are found. Sin and want and sorrow, so we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine.
That's great. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. How you've helped us thus far in the years you've given to us. And you've given us precious loved ones, family, parents, and those who have loved us enough to take care of us. Thank you, Lord. And now the precious gospel of our Lord Jesus, how it needs to be shared. First around home, and then next to home, and then through the uttermost part of the world. Lord, help us to be obedient and look with favor upon those who know not Christ the Savior and they come to know the Lord Jesus saving. And now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For more information, please call us at area code 570-546-6859 or email us at pastor@localchurchpa.com.